Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. There are links there not only to four social media platforms, but the Facebook group as well, where you can interact with not only other listeners, but even some past guests from this show. Always feel free to get in touch with me. You can email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net or even private message me through the Facebook page or the Instagram account. I really do love hearing from listeners of this show, so please, by all means, feel welcome to use any of those methods to reach me. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. It's amazing that as much as sports can unite us, we can also let it divide us. Consider criticisms such as, you don't want to hang around with him, he's a fan of the insert team here. Or to maybe illustrate it a little better, think of the word just, as in, oh please, you're just a minor league ball player, you're not in the majors. Similarly, looking down upon the basketball player at the end of the bench with a know your place, you're not a starter attitude. The same argument could be made about the way that referees and umpires are treated, meaning someone who you talk down to. When someone gets the interim tag put on them, it's accompanied by, oh no, he's not the coach, he's just filling in for these last couple of games of the season. He's actually just one of the assistants. The fact of the matter is, we are all created equal and God loves us all the same. In the New Testament, we read in Romans chapter 14, verses 10 and 13, quote, why then do you judge your brother? Or you, why do you look down on your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. Then let us no longer judge one another, but rather resolve never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is the founder of the largest Catholic-focused talent agency in the world. The clients he works with are men and women across numerous sports, with him having started the company back in 2006. He is also the founder of the National Catholic Men's Conference. Back in his days as a student athlete, he played basketball at LaSalle High School in the Greater Catholic League South, which ESPN has called the most competitive high school sports league in the country. Since his playing days, he has done both refereeing and coaching in basketball. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Joe Condit.
Bruce, it's great to be on one of the best sports shows in the land. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you. You are actually based in Texas, even though that's not where you're from originally. Share with the audience where you were born and raised, including how many siblings you have and how huge your extended family is.
Yeah, I've been very blessed. I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, which is, as you know, was the first professional baseball team ever, the Cincinnati Redlegs. And my family is just, I don't brag about many things, but I brag about my family and my friends. And I was blessed to be born to a Catholic family. I have 61 cousins on my dad's side, about 30 on my mom's. I'm one of six kids, three boys, three girls.
Wow.
And I was given everything growing up from a faith perspective.
Yeah, clearly this was a very Catholic household you grew up in. So I'm guessing that for grammar school, you must have attended a Catholic school, because I know that you also were part of your local parish.
Right. Grew up and went to a school called St. Gertrude, very, very small grade school on the west side of Cincinnati. And there we were taught our faith, and we're very blessed to have gone to that. And it was an incredible experience, you know, growing up, and the way that the faith was kind of a big part of our life. You know, my parents made sure that was the case. So when we became older, it was ingrained in us.
But share with the audience about your participation in the masses and what kind of masses they were.
Yes, actually, I grew up, was taught how to serve Latin Mass from a very young age, actually probably first grade. And the Latin Mass, as most know it, is the extraordinary form of the Catholic Mass. Very reverent, just an incredible experience. If you've ever had to one, been to one, and it was it became a big part of me. You know, the reverence, the kneeling, the focus on the Christ in the tabernacle, and it changes you. You know, Shia LaBeouf actually was in an interview recently talking about it and how it affected him. You know, and he had an incredible story about it. But that was I was very blessed to have it since I was, you know, can remember.
Yeah, I was going to say that's an interesting perspective because a lot of people don't get exposed to the Latin Mass period, or for some reason, I'm tempted to say that if they do, it's later in life. And you're saying, I think you said from first grade. And so it's almost like you didn't know any different.
I didn't. I did not actually. And, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, when I went on to play basketball at an all-boys high school, that was kind of my first introduction to what we know today as the, you know, the English Mass. So you're dead on, Bruce.
Wow.
It was a very well-rounded background in Catholicism that my parents afforded me,
wow,
which I always prayed for.
I said in the intro that you played high school basketball. Was that the only sport you played? But also, who or what got you interested in sports when you were a kid in the first place?
Oh, absolutely. Well, to answer the first part of the question, I played soccer, baseball, and basketball growing up. I had a very short stint, not even a full season in football. I found out quickly that was not my thing. my uncle John Condit was the sportscaster for Dayton's Channel 7 News, and he's just been a sports nut. He's always been in my life. Him and my father, both of them, were what instilled sports in me. My father and my uncle were some of the earliest memories I have of, you know, shooting basketball, playing catch, playing baseball, wiffle ball outside, and things of that nature.
So then let's back up, because you said six children, there were three boys and three girls. So was it, quote unquote, just your dad and uncle, or was it, well, me and my brothers, or one of my sisters, all three of my sisters? Was there any of that within the siblings that maybe helped nudge you? Or where were you in the six, by the way? Oldest, youngest?
I was number two. In fact, I'm so glad you said that, because I left out my older sister, Therese, who's been the biggest role model to me in my entire life. And she was a super athlete, always the best on her team, always the valedictorian of her class. She gave me a role model in that I always strive for excellence because she was excellent, right? Mm. And then, of course, in our household, very competitive, lots of emotion. We're Italian, Irish, German family. So between all of us siblings, we were very competitive. Believe it or not, the Condits, the women in the family are actually better athletes than the men. So, you know, my sister Therese was incredible. My sister Christina, who we'll talk about later, she was set records in high school in field hockey and then went on to play at Ave Maria. My sister Katie did the same. So it's, you know, it's a family full of sports. And my aunts and uncles, my dad's one of 11. My mom's one of 8. Mm. My dad's side, they were all super athletes. My aunt played D1 basketball at Western Kentucky. My uncle Tom ran track at Western Kentucky. So you're talking one step away from professional, right, when you're playing collegiate sports. And then, Bruce, on top of all what I just mentioned to you, my aunt and my godmother, so think about that role model that's been in my life. My aunt and my godmother, Carolyn Condit, has been the head coach for Miami University's D1 volleyball team for the last 30 years of my life. If you look her up, she's one of the top 15th winningest D1 NCAA coaches in the country.
Hmm.
So when you have someone like that in your life, I had no choice but to walk the line and do my best.
Spoiler alert, audience, if you start seeing the last name of Condit show up on this podcast in several upcoming episodes, it's going to be because Joe has so many people on his family tree that it sounds like would be good guests for this. Joe, ESPN said that the Greater Catholic League South is the most competitive high school sports league in the country. Playing in an environment like the scene I'm picturing in my head as I think about that statement, I'm picturing something similar perhaps to how rabid they are for high school football in Texas. I'm interested to hear about your having gone on to college, but not to continue basketball. Tell us about that, including what school you went to, and if you stayed strong in your Catholic faith during your college years, or if it was a classic, it started to wane story.
Yes, I played basketball at LaSalle High School, which was a huge blessing. Absolutely loved it, and it was the competitiveness, the atmosphere of the league that I got the fortune to play in, which is made up of LaSalle High School, St. Xavier High School, Muller High School, and Elder High School, all located in Cincinnati, all boys schools. When you play at one of these schools, you go from eighth grade to a freshman, and as you climb the ladder to your varsity year, I mean, you're literally almost a celebrity. It's a wild thing. Wow. You're a young kid. Thousands and thousands of people are coming to watch you play on weekends. The atmosphere is insane. The tradition is just richer than any tradition you'll find. I mean, I live in Austin, Texas now, and I hear them talk about their football, which I greatly respect.
Yeah.
But I always think to myself, you know, I would take a GCL team up against anybody any day, you know. So that was a good fortune. And then I went on to Miami of Ohio, Miami University. Coincidentally, the same exact year as Ben Roethlisberger was there, who is, everyone knows, became the Steelers quarterback. When I got on that level, I realized I wasn't going to the NBA, you know, and when you're on a collegiate level, you're one step away from professional. And I just thought, man, and experiencing these guys was like, wow, these guys are good. You know, I mean, it's one thing to play on the level I did in high school, but then moving on to college where it weeds out everybody but the best of the best. It's a completely different atmosphere.
Wow. So what about your faith, though? Because you said, I'm going to turn down the opportunity to continue playing basketball or try to continue playing basketball. But how was your faith life looking in your college years?
It was rough. You know, Bruce, I was one of those stories that cradle Catholic, given everything. And then kind of in college, I got super lazy. I mean, I say that humbly, not to, you know, just because I know there's a lot of listeners right now that have hit that point in their life where faith was not their center point. Faith became just a footnote in their life or not even a thought, right? So going to college was an experience for me where I had a lot of growing up. And I, you know, not going to Mass on Sunday, to just not making faith an important part of my life. And I saw a lot of fruits come from that, not in a good way, you know. And it wasn't till later on, after my first entrepreneur experience a couple of years after college, that my life started turning around a little bit to be more focused on faith. And, you know, I see it as the years where the good Lord was reminding me, hey, I blessed you with a lot, kid, and you're walking down a path that I didn't have, you know, intended for you. So, okay. You know, he has a way to correct us.
Let me jump in because I'm confused here. You said I started to see fruits, but not in a good way. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, yeah, bad terminology, but, you know, I started seeing the repercussions of the way I was living life, you know, partying too much. You know, it was bad fruits. I started seeing bad fruits from the way I was living.
I see.
You know, and just buying into that college atmosphere, that sure. College life, that college pressure of fitting in, you know, a lot of folks go through, and maybe it wasn't even college. Maybe it was other things that people have been through themselves. But, you know, I'm open about that because the story doesn't end there, you know, and it's a real story of a reversion where, you know, there was a point where I also lost it and had to go through some tough times to find it again.
Okay. Well, I don't mean to minimize it, but I know we have a lot more we want to cover. So if you can kind of give us the shortened version of your reversion story, because I'm also curious to hear, fast forward to 2006, all of a sudden here's someone who just told us, folks, and isn't it amazing the testimonies we hear in the show about people that fall off the path the way that Joe's describing and the way that they come back and come back so much stronger? Because where I was going with that is I want to hear the condensed version, Joe, of your reversion story, because I want to get to 2006. And here's that same guy founding the largest Catholic focused talent agency in the world.
Right. Well, that's God's work, and he works through fools. And, you know, I was lucky enough to be one of them. So to bring this back to sports, I learned a very competitive nature playing for an all-boys high school in Cincinnati, Ohio, you know, with the Catholic education. Mm-hmm. And out of college, I started my first business, and it actually worked. It started growing. I got investment from a gentleman who, I will leave all names out, but I got investment from a gentleman that ended up being the second largest Ponzi scheme in American business history.
Mm.
And if it wasn't for Bernie Madoff, my business partner would potentially be the household name at the time.
Oh.
And trust me, I still trade letters with him. God bless him. I try and stay visible in this man's life, but he was very high profile, very, very high profile.
Mm.
And when the FBI raided for the Ponzi scheme, I literally lost everything.
Mm.
We ended up getting it back, but there was a time where we were being told not only did we lose everything, but we could be going to jail.
Wow.
So that forced me back to, okay, I don't have anything right now. I go back. I lived at home with my dad, who was super, super supportive. Had to pretend I was going to mass the whole time, you know?
Hmm.
And then I started getting back into my faith that way. At the same time, you know, around that time, after we got everything back and it all worked out, you know, same exact time I started working and building what's known today as the Catholic Speakers Organization.
I'm just at a loss for words. I don't even know what emotion to have right now. For some reason, I feel a little bit of a cry in my throat. I'm also just amazed at the way that the Lord brought you through that to where you are now. I really sat here thinking, I don't know what I'm feeling right now because there's so many different emotions. Let's lighten things up a little bit, audience. Somebody email me or DM me or something. Is this the first time, those of you who are longtime listeners, is this the first time that the four-letter J word has been used on the show? I mean, the threat of the possibility of going to jail, wow, I don't know that we've had that in 211 episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. So to see where Joe was and to know who he is now is just an amazing, amazing testament to what the Lord can do in your life. And we're going to hear more about that. I'm going to put a link, by the way, on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to the Catholic Speakers website so you can see all that Joe's agency has to offer. And how many of you, by the way, have been watching The Chosen? It's wonderful that it has been so successful, so widely seen. Did you know that the lead actor who plays Jesus is a Catholic? I will let Joe speak a bit more on that in a minute. But speaking of website links for Joe's agency, I do hope that you will prayerfully consider clicking on the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I was thrilled to see that the listenership has grown each of the last 3 months. But at the same time, I fear that there might be some impression out there of this being a really big, fully funded operation, when in fact it's the exact opposite. It's just me doing all this by myself, booking the guests, preparing the interviews, recording all the episodes, doing the post-production, the editing, handling the website, the social media, a long list of tasks that continues on. But again, with no staff, no interns, no volunteers, and it's a ministry for me, meaning this is not my full-time or my part-time job. It's something that I do because I felt called to do it and want to give back with my time and talent. As proud as I am to have delivered a new episode on time every week for what is 4 years now, as of the first of this month, unfortunately, in working to use the mix of faith and sports to move more people deeper in their faith life, there are costs that are incurred that I have to try to find a way to cover out of my own pocket. It's not like there's some kind of budget for all this. Thankfully, there have been some guests and some listeners that have made a financial gift to my ministry. And folks, I ask you to kindly consider doing the same. If you like the work that I'm doing, if you want to say thanks, if you want to support this ministry to help me keep it going, do pray about utilizing the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. It's fast, it's easy, it's secure, and it lets you put in whatever amount you're most comfortable sending. In other words, there's no list of predetermined amounts for you to choose from. It also lets you include a note for me to see. Alternatively, as some have opted to do instead, you can write to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net and I will email you back with details on sending a check through the mail. Trust me when I say that it all helps very much and that it means so, so much to me. I will say on the air the name of anyone who makes a financial gift to Catholic Sports Radio, or you can tell me to keep it anonymous. I can't say enough how grateful I am for you listening to the show, telling others about it, and for supporting the work that I do in my ongoing efforts to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Joe, at the end of the day, your agency is a business, but how much spiritual reward do you get working with athletes who want to openly talk about their Catholic faith? How refreshing is that for you at a time when I just read that the NBA's Kyrie Irving is eligible for a 2-year, $78.6 million extension?
Right. You know, it's more rewarding than anything I've ever done secularly. You know, and then I have businesses in the secular world, and I did the organization as a ministry. It's always been that way. Our mission statement is promoting the word of God through those that do it best, our speakers. And the amount of network of pro athletes that we've been able to build over the last 16 years has just been phenomenal. And, you know, I could not be more blessed having people like that in my life to help me sharpen my faith, to help me stay motivated, you know. And it also is something, you know, a byproduct of me doing the organization has kept me in line. People have an expectation of you when something like that is built. And, you know, you don't want to ruin that, and you don't want to tarnish it in any way. And when you're representing people and their brands as well, you don't want anything that comes back badly on them. Wow. So it's been something that's kind of helped me, you know, from my wild days in college, kind of a 180.
Yeah. And now next month, on Saturday, March 25th, to be exact, the National Men's Conference will take place in Cincinnati, Ohio. And there are a bunch of speakers, including actor Jonathan Rumi from The Chosen. Joe, one of your associates told me that pre-pandemic, this event would attract 5,000 attendees. And in the lead up to today, you told me that there will be attendees from right in Cincinnati, of course, and from as far away as Australia. This event sounds huge.
Yeah, we got a lot of people buying tickets to come in to be in person, as well as it's live stream. So you can buy a ticket live stream and watch it from the comfort of your own home. But yeah, it's the first annual National Men's Conference, and Jonathan Rumi from The Chosen is doing very few speaking engagements this year, but by the grace of God, he chose us and he accepted our invitation, so he's going to be our headliner. Next to him, we got the Archduke of Austria, who is Archduke Karl Christian Habsburg. He is a direct descendant of Blessed Karl. Blessed Karl was deemed by John Paul II. If history buffs, any history buff knows, the Habsburg family of Austria is arguably the most famous royal family of human history. So he's doing his first talk ever in the United States at this conference.
Wow.
Yeah, which is incredible. You know, it's such a blessing. And then right next to him is Father Robert Spitzer from EWTN. We got the Archbishop of Cincinnati, the newly ordained Bishop of Columbus, Ohio. We've got a panel of NFL players, including Ted Karras, the center for the Bengals, as well as former offensive lineman Joe Reitz, who protected Peyton Manning a lot of his career.
Yeah, for the Colts.
Right, for the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, and then we have one of the coaches from the Bengals. We're hoping to try and, you know, try and get more Bengals to come. Hopefully Joe Burrow might stop in if we can play our cards right.
Is he Catholic? But is Joe Burrow Catholic?
You know what? We've been trying to look into that. I think he's Christian of some kind. And please don't quote me on that. I actually have no idea for sure. Mm-hmm. But he is an incredible young man doing great things for the city of Cincinnati. And, you know, as we continue to reach out to as many men as we can, as you said in the beginning of this podcast, the Romans quote, "Why then do you judge me?" This event is about judging no one. You know, the event's put on by Catholics, but we invite men of any faith.
Ah, okay.
And men that are in any, no matter where they are in their journey or their walk with Christ, we want them to come, whether they have faith or no faith. We want them to come experience this, because I know firsthand from now, I've done this since 2018, it changes you when you get in a room, and especially an arena with that many like-minded good souls.
Okay, let me jump in here, because you just said something and the listeners, I'm sure, are scratching their head saying, wait a minute, Bruce said that one of Joe's associates told him that pre-pandemic this would attract 5,000 attendees, and now Joe just said since 2018, but I thought I heard Joe say this is the first annual, so what's going on here?
Oh, great point. I'm glad you're going to make clear. So before this year, we were known as the Cincinnati Men's Conference. Interesting fact, the Cincinnati Men's Conference was the very first Catholic conference ever put on in the United States back in 1954. The very first idea of a Catholic conference, or where this idea where people come together to fellowship with each other and hear a motivational speaker, that happened in Cincinnati in 1994.
Wow.
We carried that tradition on. It died in 2011. I brought it back, got the blessing of the bishop in Cincinnati. I brought it back because I thought it'd be a shame. It's a shame for the godfather of them all to die, right? It's a shame that the one that started all of them, now the family conferences, the women's conferences, the men's conferences, all of them have Cincinnati to thank. And so we brought it back in 2018, and now it's grown to such popularity, we've decided to bring it back to its roots, where in the 90s it used to attract an arena full of 15,000 men. Those men just went home and thought, well, why don't we just do our own men's conference or women's conference in our own town? So we're bringing it back to make it the Super Bowl of all men's conferences. So everybody goes to their conference in their local town. We're saying, hey, the guys in Iowa, come meet the guys in New York. The guys in California, come meet the guys from Florida. And there's at least one time a year where men from all over the country are coming together in the name of Christ to first fellowship with each other and grow in their faith. And oh, by the way, you're going to get to hear some great motivational speakers like a Jonathan Rumi, a Father Robert Spitzer, and His Royal Highness, the Archduke of Austria.
Yeah, I like that, because there's nothing wrong with going to the men's conference, the women's conference, the insert clever name here conference in your area or even in your state. But if you do that over and over and over, you're going to get kind of, I don't want to say in a rut, but you're going to get awfully comfortable, and we do need to challenge ourselves in growing our faith. And so what you do is you look for something where it's still a comfort zone. It's a conference type setting, but you say, I'm going to travel a little bit for this one, and I'm going to meet other men. I'm going to hear about what other guys are facing. And obviously, ladies, there's plenty of women's conferences out there too, but I just really like the blueprint that you've shown us here, Joe, and the way that it's grown. You're using the word arena. So where in Cincinnati is this being held?
We're holding at the Cintas Arena, where the Catholic University, the Xavier Musketeers, play basketball. We've got 10,000 seats to fill, and thanks to guys like you, Bruce, getting this message out there, you know, hopefully we will.
And folks, I will put a link to the website for the National Men's Conference on the show page for this episode on catholicsportsradio.net, so you can look up more details about the event on March 25th, including how to register to attend. You heard Joe saying in person or virtually. Joe, I noticed on the website for the National Men's Conference what is called the Dad Challenge, which has to do with making a tradition of an attendee bringing their son with them to grow together as men in Christ. I wonder, is this a callback maybe to your days as a young boy and the influence that your father had on your Catholic formation?
Bruce, you're dead on. My dad brought me to this exact conference when I was in when I was in grade school.
Whoa.
To see Mike Ditka speak in front of 15,000 dudes in Cincinnati.
Wow.
Yeah, and I remember it forever. I didn't want to go, but then I go and I see this guy speak. I'm like, who is this guy? You know, I was that young. It's Coach Ditka. Are you kidding me? You know, and I was more inspired by this guy than anything. So little did I know later on in life that the good Lord would choose this fool to carry that tradition on. But yeah, that was a huge influence on me, and something that has been ingrained in me and also inspired me deeply.
We should have had our webcams turned on for this, and I could have posted it on the Catholic Sports Radio YouTube channel, because the hairs on my arm were literally standing up when you described that, of you going and not wanting to, and here's of all people Mike Ditka. That's powerful. Speaking of father-son stories, you have a fun story about your dad having known the pitcher who surrendered Pete Rose's record-setting hit. Actually, a personal encounter that you had with this. Share with the audience what I'm referring to.
Absolutely. So my father was friends with a gentleman by the name of Eric Schau. Eric Schau was at my house. I was 5 or 6 years old the night before the big game. Eric was the pitcher that pitched the pitch to when Pete Rose hit his famous record-breaking hit. So, and I believe Eric knew my dad on a faith basis, and that's what bonded them as friends. And he always had a lot of questions specifically about the Catholic faith. And, you know, I believe he would talk to my dad about that a lot. So it was interesting. that, you know, this man that was the next day was going to pitch a pitch that was, you know, we could say heard around the world or whatever. But yeah, he was the pitcher for the Padres when Pete Rose hit that famous record-breaking hit that made Pete the hit king.
Yeah, the all-time MLB leader in hits. Wow, wow. Joe, let's close by having you share with the audience about having entered the sacrament of holy matrimony somewhat recently, so to speak.
The greatest accomplishment so far in my life. We talked about ministry, we talked about sports, we talked about business. So let's talk about, we saved the best for last, right?
Yeah.
I finally found a girl crazy enough to marry me at 40 years old. My beautiful wife, Karina. We were married at Holy Sacrament of Matrimony last May, and she's of Latina descent, so we had two weddings. We got married the sacrament and focused on that with my family up north in the northern part, Midwest of the United States. And then we went to Mexico City to have a big Mexican-style celebration, which lasts about 12 hours. That would be a whole nother episode.
So you're saying last May, as in 2 months after you finish the men's conference, you will celebrate your one-year anniversary?
That is correct. That is correct.
Oh,
so,
that's beautiful.
You're good at math in the head, way better than me. I've been very blessed. This woman has changed my life, and she's an entrepreneur herself, wonderful woman of faith, and just really inspires me every day, and she puts up with me, you know, and I can see now why the good Lord made what we know as women the most beautiful creation he ever made, because us men were lost without them.
Mm. Well, folks, let's keep Joe and his quote-unquote new bride in our prayers for a long, long, long marriage filled with nothing but joy and love. And Joe, God bless you and the work that you're doing. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, Bruce. God bless you for the work you're doing.
Thank you. And folks, let's close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer and do it together, of course, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.